everybody. Welcome to the In and After Show. I'm Lindsay Loveridge, Executive Editor of Anime News Network. James Beckett is here, our reviewer for Attack on Titan. And Jaggy is back from jet setting across Europe to talk about this week's Attack on Titan. Before we get into this week's episode, Pride, I want to remind everyone to please subscribe to this channel on YouTube. If you're watching it there, hit that notification bell, hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of our content. If you're on Facebook, give us some likes and hearts and share this with your friends. And on Twitter Spaces, we're there too. So make sure to give us some retweets so all your friends know where to hang out to talk about Attack on Titan each week. Before we get to Attack on Titan, we're also going to talk about some news this week. We haven't done a news segment in a little while, and since this was kind of a light episode, I thought we could squeeze it a couple things in. So we've got two stories. One of them is really big gaming news, and the other one is about cursed convention object that may be coming back if the Kickstarter meets its goal. So first, we'll revisit that cursed object. Who here remembers Yaoi Paddles? Am I the only one old enough to remember Yaoi Paddles? Jackie?
I vaguely remember this. Like, people got like really injured by it, right? And then they banned them, correct?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yaoi Paddles were banned.
But like, why were people doing that in the first place?
Why were people doing that in the first place? It's a really good question. James, we were talking a little bit before this, but do you remember Yaoi Paddles? Before I get into the con scene of the early 2000s. Before you like step into that time machine,
which was a unfortunately different time. Or unfortunately, there weren't like a whole lot of great anime cons while I was at the age where Yaoi Paddles would have been a thing, and so it wasn't really until college that I was able to experience the glory of the convention floor. And no, Yaoi Paddles. We had glomping. I think we talked. Glomping was an issue at the cons I went to.
Yeah,
but thankfully, no one swung at anybody with the Yaoi stick.
So the thing that went on with Yaoi Paddles is these were an item that you could buy on the convention floor that got pretty popular. And the general vibe of cons in the early 2000s, I went to SoccerCon a lot during this time when I was around like 14 or 15. There were a lot of just unsupervised teenagers. Not that just teenagers did this. It might have also been, you know, some people who were a bit older.
Teenagers at heart.
Yes, but there was a lot of just general excitement to be in a space with a bunch of like-minded people who, I don't know, were equally excited to be there. The energy was always really high, and personal boundaries just weren't respected nearly as well as they are now. Nowadays, you go to a con and you'll see signs put out that say, like, cosplay is not consent and things like that, that kind of just trying to discourage people from just, like, freaking out because they see someone who's dressed as their favorite character that they've, you know, got a crush on or whatever. That wasn't as widely enforced at the time, I think. So people would buy these Yaoi paddles, and some of it would just be within a friend group, and it might have just been, you know, general joking around with you smacking one another on the butt. But it became a big enough thing that people were smacking unsuspecting people on the butt because they thought it was funny. And that became a wide enough problem that most cons banned these in probably the mid-2000s or so. So, you know, they were no longer on the show floor. You were not allowed to have them. It kind of rolled out with a lot of other rules at the time. Like, it used to be pretty common to have signs to say, like, will hug for X. Not usually money, but, like, snacks or something. And
Hello, that was, Panda.
Well, yeah, we'll hug for Hello, Panda. We'll hug for Pocky or something. And that also was another thing that got clamped down on quite a bit.
Dude, Hello, Panda. Y'all bringing me back. I'm sorry. I just had to comment on that. Did you guys ever have the matcha ones? Because those are low-key underrated.
I literally just had some like a week
strawberry
ago.
Strawberry is good, but matcha is where it's at. I mean, chocolate's really good, too. Yeah. Now I want Hello, Pandas. Why do we bring that up? And we're not even sponsored by Hello Panda, everybody.
No, I'm Hello just Panda
hashtag
is
not a sponsor.
Yeah, hashtag not a sponsor. Not an ad.
But yeah, those kind of, that all got clamped down on, and that part of con culture kind of faded out. So now there's a fan Kickstarter to bring back a limited amount of these paddles. The initial idea was, hey, you know, get a piece of memorabilia from conventions long ago and, you know, keep it in your house or something. They were going to limit it to just as like a small number, kind of exclusive sort of thing, but it's turned into a larger discussion. A lot of people who are in the con scene at that time are understandably not excited about the prospect of this maybe coming back and being misused again. Also, the original paddles were created by a company called, I think it was Hendane? Or Hendane. Hendane. Were the major sellers at the time. This new Kickstarter isn't run by them, so there's been some controversy over whether they can even sell these or if they're kind of a knockoff of another design. That part's kind of developing. I personally don't think it's a big problem if it's a limited number and if they still aren't allowed to be at cons, like as like a joke thing to have in your house. I think it's fine. I don't really see a problem with it. I don't know. Do you guys think there's a like a high chance of them being abused, like misused, I should say?
Just why bring that back? It's like, just let that die. Like, there's no reason for that to come back. I'm sorry, like, I don't see any positive. I mean, like, maybe if somebody was nostalgic about it, which why would you be nostalgic about a pedal? Someone just put who the F wants Yaoi pedals back. Like, that's totally my opinion as well. Mm. Just like, that died for a reason. Like, let's just let that be.
I just James can't imagine a more cursed thing. Especially given Kickstarter's recent financial controversies, that someone buying a Yaoi paddle with like cryptocurrency in the year 2022 might actually be the worst thing that the internet's. No, it's not the worst thing the internet's ever done, but it's like top five.
It's pretty high up there.
Yeah, it's some kind of crime, and it needs to be stopped.
Oh Lord!
Yeah. I guess we'll see what happens. First time I see one, you know, being used at a. If I see one at AX this year, it's just game over. So you know, yeah. If that's something you want, just please keep it. Please keep it in your house and don't swat people.
And the real question is, why do you want it?
Listen, if people want to get up to things in their personal space.
Keep it there.
But yeah, I'm like, don't go around cons like smacking people. Like, come on now.
Please.
If you want to cosplay as Flock and Jean and just Yaoi paddle the crap out of each other in the privacy of your own home, be my guest.
Okay, Lindsay suggested it, but nobody had to articulate it.
Nobody had to
articulate that. But thank you. Thank you for articulating that.
Who's the Uke and the Seme in that, James?
I mean, I think Flock would be a very defiant and aggressive bottom, is I think.
Yeah. I think he's a power bottom.
He would never admit it. But I think, again,
I low key agree 100. That's hilarious. Anyways.
In completely
other news,
related E for everyone news, there's gonna be a new Pokemon game. All right, Pokemon
Yay!
Scarlet and Violet was announced. It's supposed to come out by the end of the year. Pray for the Game Freak staff, because Arceus was just effing released, guys. Like,
I know,
you can have more time.
Do they have like an A team and a B team like Ubisoft does? Do they have
no idea?
I feel like they have to, right? They can't. Unless they just made this game in the span of a year, which
I don't think that's true. They've probably been working on it for several years. But yes, it would make sense that they have multiple teams to work on things concurrently.
But then what's the A team? What's the B team one? Like, would this be the A team one?
You would assume that
because it's the primary. Scarlet and Violet. Yeah. Like, because it's always like the two things. Anyways,
Arceus
I'm picking
the experimental title.
Yeah, when Lindsay was like, okay, you got to pick your starter, I was like, it's going to be fire. I don't even care. Like, don't even show it to me.
Yeah.
It's going to be fire. I literally didn't even want to look. And then I looked and I was like, the fire one's my least favorite. Like, yeah. I think cat and then duck. And to be honest, cat and duck is a tough. The cat's just a little bit, I mean, what gives it away that I would pick the cat? But I was shocked. I was shocked because I'm almost always I feel like the fire Pokemon are always really strong for starters.
Yeah.
So anyway, moving on.
James, what's your preferred starter in this Spain-inspired iteration of Pokemon?
I mean, I'm torn because as a Coloradan, I feel like I'm culturally and probably legally obligated to pick the weed cat.
Weed cat.
I mean, it's got a bud right on its face.
Is the weed cat better than Litten? Because I don't think that's possible. Do you guys remember Litten?
Of course,
I do.
Okay,
Litten.
I mean,
how did you feel about Litten's final evolution into a giant wrestler cat? Am I the odd one out?
No, okay. I'm here for it. All right, but okay. Score Bunny, I mean, if you look at these fire starter Pokemon, I mean, like Charizard, obviously, without a doubt. Cyndaquil was kind of a meh.
I like Cyndaquil's Arceus version, where the flames are kind of more like wispy purple.
Also a stoner.
Oh my gosh, James. So T-Pig was kind of a low point, though, as well. Sorry, T-Pig, but yeah, moving on.
So James, you're also on team, what is it? Sprigatito?
Well, okay, so I'm very much in the camp where I want to see where the evolutions go, and here's my pitch. That duck on the right, whose name I've forgotten.
Quaxley.
Quaxley, perfect.
Yeah, perfect name.
I need that duck to, and I know people don't like the bipedal evolutions. I don't care. I need
the duck's
that duck
already
to have,
bipedal though. So
that's true. But I need him to have a leather jacket. Okay. I need him to have a cigarette and one of those little cigarette holders that they use in Europe. Okay. And I need him to be wearing sunglasses at all times, inside or out.
That's not going to happen.
But maybe a very tiny espresso.
I do. Okay.
All right, I'll take that.
I do feel like Quaxley's final form will be exceptional for some reason, though. It's just going to be super badass. Mm-hmm. I don't see the red fire crocodile or alligator. I just don't see his last one being that cool.
Okay, so this is where I interject, because my favorite is Fue Coco, which is
the red
crocodile. Yes, and I'm gonna tell you why. One, look at his mouth. I hope it only gets bigger the bigger he gets. I hope he goes like full, like flat fuck Friday crocodile mode, just gets really fat and just has a giant mouth. He'll definitely be fat.
I can foresee him being fat.
He might get like tank-like. I could also see that, like him going into like a sort of like more scaly tank version of himself. Sure. You know, mm-hmm. as he evolves.
100%.
But he also looks like one of the bubble dinos. So I don't know.
Oh my gosh, is that old game when we used to? Oh no, that's Hungry Hungry Hippo. Whoa, I was off on that. Ooh, never mind.
No, Bubble Bubble's the one where you know you have to line up the little colored balls and you shoot them up with a little shooter, and there's little dinosaurs, right?
Yeah,
it's Bubble Wobble. Okay,
I don't remember that. I do remember Hungry Hungry Hippo though. But
yeah,
moving
oh
on.
Well, yeah, and there's been variations of Hungry Hungry Hippo since. So yeah, let us know in the chat, guys. What's your preferred starter? Are you Sprigatito, Fue Coco, or Quaxley? Back me up on the Applegator. Okay, like I've also seen
nobody.
People...
Okay, everybody. Someone really are people Theo said he likes the Applegator. I am absolutely shook right now. I am shook. Is he just saying that to is he joking? Nobody likes the Applegator.
I like the Applegator.
I know, but
Lindsay did just
no. Lindsay's trolling. She doesn't really like the Applegator. And it looks like a cherry. It doesn't even look like an apple. It looks like
I've
a little
people say that it actually looks more like a cocoa bean, like if you compare it to the colors of a cocoa bean, which again, it could go some weird coffee direction or something.
By the way, y'all, I am seeing some very entertaining things on Twitter about Litten and Sprigatito. Like you can only imagine.
We're smoking blunts together.
Smoking blunts and watching Raw. That's exactly what you need to do.
I'm just like, oh Lord. Oh, and there's some really good ones too. But we talked earlier about the horrors of Twitter.
Yeah, fan art.
Just don't Google any of these starters ever. Just don't do it. You're risking so much.
It's the same problem like with My Little Pony. Like just, you know, you don't need that world opened up to you.
Unless you do, which you know what? That's like we said, whatever you do in the privacy of your own home, that's fine. Just don't bring it to the conventions.
Theo says he genuinely likes the croc. It reminds me of an old kid snack mascot or a pogo comic character. Yeah, he does kind of look like he would sell you Apple Jacks.
Totally right? Looks like a cereal mascot.
Yeah,
I was
thinking
give him that.
He looks like a Fleischer cartoon a little bit. That's kind of like a Steamboat Willie kind of.
Okay. Or like Cuphead sort of.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. If you got noodly like arms, that'd be sick.
Like him.
We got like noodly arms.
Oh.
Like those Cuphead Fleischer cartoon characters.
Yeah.
No, all right. No, no noodle arms. And the fact that Lindsay did that is next level. I was like,
I'm good at it too, which is kind of scary. I don't know if my like tangential, but my son, I was trying to teach him how to properly hold a baseball bat recently, and it was very difficult because he has hyper extension in his elbows. So like you're trying to get him to do like to swing, but he can hyper extend his arm down so that it starts kind of folding a little bit the other way. It's anyway. So he must be like a master.
Great story, Lindsay.
You're welcome. All right, let's talk about Attack on Titan. This episode was really weird, guys. Like,
yeah,
totally.
It was an odd one.
Totally. It was just, it was really
It was odd. One of the weaker episodes for sure.
Yeah. What, you didn't like Connie's adventure to teach you good dental hygiene?
Like, that was weird. And yeah. I was kind of like, we knew Connie wasn't going to go through with it.
Sure.
And we knew Armin wasn't going to die. So it was just like me watching that. I was like, did you guys really waste my time with that? Like, that was just kind of my opinion on it. I was just like, we knew that wasn't going to play out. And it played out exactly how I knew it was going to. Someone said it was a bit cringe for me. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, I mean, to his credit, Connie did just flat out admit that he is a stone cold idiot and doesn't know what he's doing.
True. I know, but after how intense the episodes have been, it was just like to have like that awkward comedy that didn't even really hit, like was just kind of like, I was like, I don't know about this. I felt like, and I love Hanji. I don't want anyone to like come at me and be like, how dare you say anything bad about Hanji? But it was like, I felt like there were some humorous parts with her too that didn't quite hit with me as well as they usually do. And I was just kind of like, okay, like I'm not ready for the comedy yet. We just had like some horrific stuff go down, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know, but this bit definitely didn't hit for me. So I was like,
Yeah, it seemed like kind of, it felt mostly like a diversion. It felt like, you know, Connie just kind of went and did this cause he doesn't know what else to do. I mean, and they're all kind of in that scenario right now, right? Like Mikasa was asking Armin what she was supposed to do. The previous episode, Armin's like, I don't know. I guess I'm going to go stop Connie because I can't do anything about all these other bigger problems. And I guess Connie was like, the world's falling apart. Maybe I can get my mom back out of this if I just feed her this boy. But but the weird
just shove him right in there.
Ew, can we not look at how weird his face looks here? I'm like, oh.
This part did make me laugh. I did laugh at this. I was more laughing at just... Like Jackie said, I think a part of what makes this episode feel odd is that we're coming off the back of just what,
like
nine straight episodes of relentless nihilism and misery.
Dude,
and
that was the last episode, was it the one with like we got no. I don't think so. Ymir's history was like really heavy.
Yeah.
And do we have something in between that? I was going to say, because that, and then before that, we had Aaron finding out about his dad, or, you know, we saw the memories with the dad and Zeke, and, like, you know, well, am I missing one?
Last week was where everyone was in full-scale panic mode, and Armin said that he wished that he'd been killed instead of
Erwin.
Oh, and Annie, you know. It was Annie's big reveal. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we're kind of on a downward trajectory right now, but it was... just not quite there yet, I guess. So
yeah.
Oh, and talking about comedic bits that didn't hit for me. Like, I was like, dude, Annie used to be one of the baddest bitches, like fucking period. And then she's just like stuffing her face. And I was just like, don't do my girl like this. Like, she's always just been hard and like amazing. And so like, I know it's like kind of cute, but I was just kind of like, I didn't see my Annie doing this. Like, Annie's always been, she's like a hard warrior. She was like, when Rainer and Bertholdt were kind of like, you know, falling apart, I felt like she was always the one who was like hard as rock, you know. So it was just like, I get it, they're trying to have a little fun. Theo said, hey, people need to eat. I know people gotta eat, but
I did love Armin's, like, because, you know, he's crushing on her so hard. He's like, guys, it's the first pie she's had in like 4 years. It's like,
I know,
makes an excuse for her.
I feel like that Connie made fun of her though, because, like, you know, it could have been this like, you killed all of our friends and like you know what I mean? But then it's kind of like, dude, we are so fucking past. Like, it's like at this point, everyone has done bad shit. Like, you know what I mean? I almost thought it was funny.
I almost
Connie
murdered a child.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
It's all good.
I'm sorry. That is iconic. Like, literally, he could have said that, and yeah, it's valid. What a weird show we are watching.
Gabby and Falco must just be sitting there like, who? These are the people that we thought were, like, the greatest evil on planet Earth, these idiots.
Yeah, true.
That one dude almost fed himself to that guy's mom because, like, he couldn't think of a better plan.
Oh my god, thank you.
The Colossal Titan, that'll be fine.
But what was funny to me about that is because Connie points it out, he's like, you didn't think about how horrible it'd be for my mom to become the Colossal Titan. It's like, well, you're gonna make her the Jot Titan. I mean, maybe
I think that was him like admitting that his plan it wasn't a great idea, pointless.
Yeah.
But it was wrapped up so quickly and with so little fanfare that it really did kind of feel like all the characters are like, well, we're never gonna talk about that again. And
yeah, it was like, so let's just, and then doesn't Armin go like, I hope Gabby can forgive Connie. He's like about to dive in. I was like,
your Gabby's like, I don't know any of you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was just like, what is going on here?
I'm sorry I killed you. I guess Gabby killed their friend, so they're all just like, whatever.
Dude, yeah. Gabby knocked off Aaron's head. Like, I'm still, like, I know there's a lot of Gabby hate out there, but I'm thoroughly impressed by her. I'm always like, you know, for this little girl, she's done some pretty remarkable things. Like, she almost messed up the entire rumbling. Like, it's just a blessing. Well, I guess not a blessing.
It's not actually a terrible
thing that Zeke ended up catching his head. I'm sorry, when I say these things out loud, I'm like, what am I talking about? And then I'm like, no, these things happened and this is valid. Yes, someone's head got shot off, and then his guy grabbed it like a baseball.
Yeah.
And then they were taken to this other dimension. And I'm just gonna stop there because it's just like, I don't know what's coming out of my mouth, but it's true.
There was a big old skeleton just crawling around and ending the world and a little genocide here and there. It's fine.
Giant muscle people came out of the walls. And
what's wrong with us? Why are we so entertained?
I didn't make this story.
Why are we so obsessed with this? Like, me saying that all out loud, I was like, why have I
been watching this since 2013? Now that I've said it out loud, because it's compelling television somehow.
But this
episode, like, it felt like it had two tones. Also, sorry. I don't know what my toddler's doing. Probably building.
You don't need to apologize.
Yeah. He's having a good time.
He's pretending to be a Titan. Maybe.
That would actually be pretty
yeah, it's like it yeah. sounds like it.
That's about him. Yeah. This episode there was two different tones to it. We kind of just talked about all the like wacky humor, but then it was trying to pair it with all this really dark, serious stuff, mostly about the Yeagerus. And Hanji and Levi, and we see this new alliance formed at the end, which is kind of the alliance part I want to talk about because it kind of ties into, I think it was a couple episodes ago where I commented like, maybe Aaron's trying to pull a Dr. Manhattan, or if you read the comic, it's the squid alien from Watchmen, where he tries to unify everyone underneath a common enemy. That enemy being him. And that's basically what we see happen in this episode. Cause we see this, like, we see Reiner and the other Marlians, the Cart Titan, the guy who rides the Cart Titan, whose name I can't remember right now.
Theo Magath.
Yeah. And we see
Theo.
Hanji, Levi, Armin, Mikasa. Sorry, I drank soda and now I'm burpy. And all of them come together to stop Aaron. So that ended up being the thing that united what were previously enemies. It might just be a case of, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of thing. But
so Levi shows up and just says, what is this, some kind of attack on Titan? Is that what we're doing here?
No. Oh, they already did their name. Their kind of name drop thing.
That's true. They did. They already did the name drop.
So. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But I guess before we show my beautiful Levi return to.
This part I liked.
Yeah.
I did think that while it was a tonally strange episode, I did like that Anya Capone was like like they were like, oh, well, you can live. And he's like, I would much rather die than like be around your cause, like whatsoever, you know?
Why wouldn't he want to live there? Why would he want to watch them destroy his homeland and kill his family and all of his countrymen?
I mean, people are cowardly though. And I mean, like, also it's like his, like, I was like pretty impressed actually. Like I was like, damn.
And this episode is really where we're seeing the like kind of fervor of the fascism kind of really start to grind up.
Yeah.
You have all of those people on parodies that are reciting the give your heart motto, and all of the Jaegerists up there with Flock are looking straight out of like a they're almost like they're becoming not cartoonishly evil, but they're really embracing their xenophobia and their
fascism. And Ollaan Capone was actually the one who called them xenophobic. He like called them a bunch of xenophobic assholes. He's like, why would I want to hang out with you guys?
You guys are idiots. You're all so stupid. I was helping you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what I get for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, anime. That's all I'm going to say.
So why isn't Flock dead yet? Like.
Oh, I know.
Someone said that they were Team Flock. Look.
I don't know
if you're being comical, Urge Crusher, but.
I hope so, because he's horrible.
How? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah, he almost got himself snarfed, but unfortunately that was like just a ploy for Jean to make a quick exit and team back up with the new ragtag heroes that we've got now. But I really, like, when he pushed him out of the way, I didn't know that that was the goal. Like, I thought Cart Titan, like, legit ate him at first.
I got a little mad because I was at first very happy that Jean didn't execute Ollaan Capone gangland style. That's a good move.
Yeah.
But then when he pushed Flock out of the way, I was like, you idiot. Why would you save literally the worst person? And Aaron is out there ending the world, and Flock is still the worst.
It all made sense.
But then he reveals that they all made this deal. And I have to ask, I know I'm the one that's reviewing the show, but did I miss something where because Jean is like, oh yeah, we came up with this whole plan like just the other night.
Like, yeah, that seemed very...
When did this happen? When did you have the chance to communicate any of this?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that either. I didn't come away from the episode having an understanding that they'd had some sort of like secret liaison or whatever. Like, I don't know how that was pulled off other than for like off-screen convenience.
I think
that's what makes this episode feel weird, is that the whole... Even the stuff that's good, like I think the Ollaan Capone stuff is good.
Yeah,
I like some of the goofy humor. I agree that it doesn't really jive with the tone, but it was nice to see the show be funny. At least maybe one more time. But a lot of it, like especially with Armin and Connie, and also with the weird Mikasa scene that we might talk about later.
Let's talk about the Mikasa stuff, because
a lot of it just felt like the show is kind of running out of, like, it realized that it didn't know what to do with all these story threads, and it just said, screw it, we're gonna tie it all up because we got to get to the big fight.
I've felt more and more like emotionally distant from Mikasa, even though it feels like this should be a time when we're able to empathize with her the most, because she's going, you know, through this huge shift with her allegiances being questioned, and you know, her feelings for Aaron being questioned and whether she can trust him or not. But instead, like, I can't get a read on her.
Like, it's just like, I don't know. I felt so emotionally connected to her. And it's like all of season 4, I felt like so distant from her and felt like she has like, I mean, partially it's because I don't think she has a good sense of her identity right now. Like she doesn't even know, do I want to support Aaron or like, what do I want to do? So, I mean, maybe that's why a little bit, but it has been kind of weird because I've been like, she's like our girl. Like we all love her, you know, like, and so it's just been, besides the epic butt scene that James screenshotted, remember you were like, and I love how I was like, yeah, look at Mikasa's butt. And then James is like, great. But I actually thought it was cool that she's like decapitating two people. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, obviously that. But it was like, I just feel like she hasn't really had like a moment to shine. And this this felt a little forced to me. Also, the whole Annie and Hitch thing, like, I totally forgot about that. So
yeah,
it's cute, but it was just kind of like, I think James just said it, like, it's like they're trying to tie up loose ends, and it's like, it's okay if characters fall off. Like, they don't all need to have, like, some, like, ending. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Well, Alex brought up in the chat just now that...
I thought that was a good point, too, but go ahead, James.
Yeah, no, that Mikasa and Luis's deal here is kind of an intentional parallel to her kind of where she used to be with Aaron, where she was just utterly devoted to him and utterly devoted to all she cared about was protecting him. I'm playing the Attack on Titan game right now, the one by the studio that does the Warriors games.
Oh, is it?
And every single scene, whenever Mikasa's around, pretty much every character's like, oh yeah, she's obsessed with Aaron. She'll do anything to protect him at the cost of anything else. That's her character trait. And so I think that's a good point. But I think for me, the issue here was, like, Luis doesn't matter. Like, we've met her, like, twice, I think. And even in this scene, she's, like... Her obsession with Mikasa, I don't think, is a great parallel, because Mikasa's obsession with Aaron has always been framed in a more like romantic kind of way, or at least in a very emotionally driven sort of way.
Yeah.
Where Luis is more just idolizing Mikasa from a distance. Mm-hmm. And so I get the parallel there that maybe
Luis has always felt a little creepier. Even though I always felt like Mikasa's devotion to Aaron had definitely like gone a bridge too far a while ago, even before he, you know, announced his crazy plans with Zeke and whatnot. I always thought it was kind of because she was always so stoic at the same time. So I guess it just sort of read as like a way to give her something to do without really fleshing her out throughout the narrative. With Louise's case, someone's pointing out that like Mikasa saved her once, so she's idolized her since she was a child, which does bear some similarities to, you know, like Aaron stabbing some dudes to death to save Mikasa as a child. But even in this case, yeah, I don't feel as connected with Louise. And so like, as a viewer watching it, it did always seem like more like, hey, I, you know, go through your underwear drawer and smell your socks when you're not around, kind of weird, you know?
Oh my God.
It's kind of the feel that I got from it. Pointing out now that there's like some similarities that Mikasa might have been having a moment here where when she's hearing Louise explain why she took the scarf, she might actually be thinking about, huh, this is kind of like how I'm with Aaron, and this is kind of freaky. So maybe like I'm also have been kind of freaky about this and need to chill out. But I'm not sure, I'm not 100% sold that she had that revelation to begin with, because she still takes the scarf back. And I feel like if she would have left it, it would have symbolically shown that she was acknowledging her over-attachment to Aaron now and, like, letting that go. But she still hasn't let it go. She took the scarf back.
Yeah,
so,
like, if she said, like, if the show made a clearer point of saying, Louise is, like, who I used to be, and I'm gonna let this dying girl die alone with this scarf, and I'm gonna walk off and do my own thing. But, yeah, she takes the scarf, and it's... Again, I think it's communicated in a way that, I mean, I guess I could, like, if Mikasa just straight up, like, garrots Aaron with the scarf, then I think we would really get, like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
That'd be.
But, I guess we'll just have to see where that goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we sort of get into Levi and where we see the show going in the future, we're going to take a quick break and have a word from our sponsors.
Now for a quick word from our sponsors. Quest, thirsty skin and leave it feeling satin smooth with Wang Melrose Place Body Cream. It's fast absorbing to nourish your skin when you need it most. Hydration that lasts, preventing dryness. And it's high quality, nourishing ingredients like squalene, coconut oil, kupuasu butter, and coconut oil. And turn your shower into an escape with the gentle skin softening Way Melrose Place Body Cleanser. It balances your skin without stripping it or leaving unwanted residue, gently cleanses and nourishes at the same time with a luxurious lather. There's skin softening oils in a hydrating blend and also high quality nourishing ingredients like jojoba seed oil and rose hip oil. All right, to experience the new way Melrose Place Body Cream and Body Cleanser, your body, your way, go to THEOUAI.com and use the code BLEAV, BLEAV, to get 15% off your entire purchase. That's 15% off your entire order at theway.com, code BLEAV. So go over there now. What's more important than peace of mind? Nothing. And that's what NordVPN is here for, to give you peace of mind while you are online. With all the threats that you face today on the internet, it's more important than ever to be sure that you have the best VPN you can get. NordVPN is the world's best VPN service, offering the fastest connectivity, most servers, and next-gen encryption to make sure that everything you do online stays secure. Plus, you can use NordVPN on all of your computers and devices, no matter the operating system. With NordVPN's unlimited bandwidth, you never have to worry about a slow connection either, and plans start at under $4 a month. So, you grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/believe or use the code BLEAVE, that's BLEAV, to get up to 70% off your NordVPN plan, plus one additional month for free. It's also risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for sticking around through the sponsor break. We're going to open up this next section by talking about Levi. Oh, my God. Is it blinking for everyone else?
It is.
That's weird. Let's try that again. Because
he's just so hot without a face. He's breaking the internet.
They're probably like, are you trying to show porn? Stop trying to show porn because he's just naked. But no, yes.
Yeah, so. And by the way, everyone, when we showed up before this podcast started, Lindsay just pulled this photo up and we were like, Lindsay,
you just, you know, Lindsay. I candy, right? Like, we haven't had anything nice to look at for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now Levi's finally back. He's not wearing a shirt. I'm gonna take what I can get. All right. You're just a thirsty lady trying to run an anime podcast.
By the way, Lindsay also said that he looks hotter with the scars somehow, which I agree.
I mean,
I concur.
Who was gonna argue that like stitches all the way down the side of the face, like over the mouth, is not immediately hotter than without, right?
Why don't we have that screenshot? Come on.
Because James didn't too take distracted. It.
I dropped the ball, guys. I'm sorry. I was too distracted by Connie's
the pectoral muscles. Face. Oh was, yeah, that was. Yeah, that was, that's, yeah. Okay, moving on.
So the idea, we get like a flashback actually in this episode to, you know, it shows Hanji stitching him up, talking to herself a little bit. She like built a cart to put him on and she was just like toting him around on this cart and they take him to Peek and Teo and are like, hey, please don't eat us. Let's form an alliance instead. And I don't remember if it was Teo or Peek who like points it out first, but they're like, are you going to fight on that thing? She's just pulling Levi along. And he's trying to like negotiate from a place of power.
Yeah.
But I guess it works out because they don't eat him and we team up with them later. But it seems like his major goal is actually to find Zeke, who we haven't seen since Aaron
finished the job.
Yeah,
I cannot wait for Levi to fucking kill Zeke, and it's gonna be brutal and it's gonna be amazing. Yeah. I also need a Reiner Aaron fight. I mean, it was not bad what we saw in the second part of this season. It wasn't bad, but like that still wasn't the face off I wanted between those two. Like they need to go at it. Any other epic battles that we need to see?
Let's see. I mean,
Annie's got to come back. I don't know who.
Yeah, Annie's got to come back. Armin hasn't been Colossal Titan since last, like the first half of the season when he, you know, like crushed
all the civilians.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that the Colossal Titan is like arguably like probably one of the most fearsome Titans, and like Berthold had him and then Armin did, who are both easily like two of my favorite characters because they're just adorable good boys. Yeah. I actually like Berthold, I think, better than Armin's. Armin can be a little annoying sometimes. But yeah. I just think it's funny. Like, do you have to have a soft heart to have the Colossal Titan, apparently?
Yeah, Yeah, it's probably not like required, but it does seem like that's
who knows. Ends that's up, where right? Who knows who had it before Berthold, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that might be something that was in the manga, but we don't.
Yeah.
I don't recall who it was. Yeah. Up to this point, I think we need to see Armin like pull out the big guns and actually like go ape shit because we haven't ever got to see him really do that. Yeah. And he's got to come back.
Is the show going to do the thing that Avengers Endgame did where it just has like Annie and Mikasa and maybe Hitch shows up out of nowhere? And the
like Iron on Man her suit. Shoulder, maybe? Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gabby, she's like, will be I'm the 10th Titan now. And it's like,
yeah,
come on, guys. Like,
and then you're talking like, about the scene where all the women come together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
was, I'm not going to lie, I cried when that happened during Avengers Endgame. So if that happens during this, I probably will cry. Hanji's got to be there, obviously.
Yeah.
And if Sasha somehow, like, her spirit was there, like, with a potato,
just eating some meat, just, like, watching over there.
But, like, with the Jedi glow sort of thing going
yes,
on, you know?
Yes, I would cry. I would just be like, I'm so here for this.
The
so
ghost Hayden Christensen is also there, just hanging out. And waving happily right next
no,
to
No, he's
statue.
Not allowed. He will not ruin that moment for me. No. No.
What about Baby Falco too? Baby Falco's gotta turn into John Titan and become
But we're talking about the like women's scene, right?
Right. I'm just saying like overall at endgame this point. Though. All the Titans gotta come out for it.
Yeah.
So Gabby needs to get some more 360 no scopes in.
Yeah. So like hot take, I think Reiner's gonna die and Gabby's gonna have to take his powers.
Oh, the armor titan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean I'm sad about it because I love Reiner. I'm team Reiner. I know people are hit or miss on that. But I do
think
that's
easy to root for him, you know, like he has a pretty tragic backstory. Like even the situation he's ended up in, it doesn't ever feel like he wants to be doing any of what he has to be doing right now. Like that guy's exhausted.
What's interesting with Reiner is that I hated him as a kid, like when he was younger, because I was like, who's this guy who's like tall and good looking and strong and he's like really great and he's just like around and he's just like that good, you know, and he's not even like, he's not even like Gene who has like, you know, a little bit of snark, who, by the way, he lost all his snark, which makes me sad. We could talk about that too, but it was like, I thought he was so boring and I did not like him. And then lo and behold, season 4, it's a whole new take on that character. You know what I mean? Then we just see his vulnerability and that he like went through extreme loss due to fear. And then that's like what made him strong, you know? Like I don't, he does have an amazing story, but I still think there's some people who are like hung up on the fact that, I mean,
he betrayed
them.
You
know what's funny? I don't know how really hung up people are on that anymore. Cause like I said, they saw Annie and I think everybody's just kind of like, we've seen it all. You know what I mean?
Everybody's
like James said, he was like, I tried to murder a child. Like, it's like, at this point, it's just like, I guess you're right. Maybe now, because they're hanging out with Reiner, right? I don't know if we have the screen cap of it.
Yeah.
Like,
this is our new team of heroes. I've got a screen cap of this.
Well, and Armin also has all of Berthold's memories, right? And so I feel like he's also probably a lot more sympathetic to what they all went through and understands that they ruined everyone's lives and killed so many people, but they weren't enthusiastic about it.
Is this Connie, by the way?
That's Connie. Low-key, this
looks
actually
so different here that like when they actually showed this during the episode, I'm like, who's that guy?
Why are they giving him hair now? He always had a shaved head, or it was like so cut short that, you know,
maybe
I'm like,
it grew while he was in prison. I don't know,
but this is actually a really beautiful like image.
Didn't think that was Connie. Like I thought this was some different blonde guy that I completely forgotten about. I was like, do I need to get on the wiki and figure out who this dude is?
His face looks like that's a little like Gene-ish in that shot.
I was gonna say maybe Gene, but no,
that's kind of
too round.
Yeah,
great analysis, guys.
I think there was also just like an overall fixation on toothbrushing. And I want to know if it's because it's also the reunion of that episode of Monogatari where the brother like sexually brushed his sister's teeth and that got memed to death and was Attack on Titan like, hey, you know, let's honor that moment and have a
really, I did not know about this.
Oh, you don't want to.
Are we gonna have Reiner just grab one of those toothbrushes and gently cradle the cart titan, and just like 5 straight minutes of they're gonna get freaking, oh my god, what's the studio that does Monogatari?
Shaft.
Yeah, they're gonna get Shaft to do like a guest spot just for that.
Because Akiyuki Shimo is a pervert. All right, we got people in the chat who don't know what I'm talking about. I think
neither. I was
Jackie
like,
doesn't know what I'm talking about.
What? You, oh, guys, this
if
is
you
legendary.
Google Monogatari toothbrush, you will get. It's actually from Nisei Monogatari, which is one of those sequential. Anyway, Monogatari lore.
Don't search this up at work or around don't, polite company.
No. There's basically just a scene in this anime. It's got a lot of fan service anyway and supernatural stuff. And if you've watched a Shaft show, like, say, Madoka Magica, it's got similar art direction because Akiyuki Shimbo, all of his stuff kind of looks like that. So it's, you know, it's like a weird show based on some light novels. Anyway, the main character has twins? It's not really important. All you need to know is that there's a very lovingly animated scene where he is teasing her by brushing her teeth for her, and there's a lot of shots of like inside her mouth, and like she seems to be getting some sort of weird sexual enjoyment out of it. I hate that I am describing this right now. I hate it. Yeah. But anyway,
and she's like 12 too, so you know.
There's also that because anime always that. So anyway, that scene got memed like crazy. It's referenced by fans.
That sounds terrible, like terribly bad. That is bad.
Anyway,
yeah.
Okay, I just like tried Monogatari, to look it up on Reddit, and it just said you must be 18 plus to view this. I mean, I think
there's
that's
no nudity. Fair. Everyone is clothed the whole time. It's all just like implied orgasmic toothbrushing. Okay?
Between siblings.
Oh, this just looks bad.
Yeah,
I'm listening without sound right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the. Jackie's having a moment, everyone.
Dude, why? Oh, no. Why? Why?
This is now a live reaction video.
Oh, this is bad. Okay, we're going to stop right there. I'm sorry, y'all. Okay, they're doing a close-up of the toothbrush right now. It's like just the bristles, like the whole screen.
Whoops.
Like, it's like opposite of ASMR.
Lindsay was like, you're done.
I was trying to make you the focus so it would be you big and us small beside.
Yeah,
you,
that was Everhole just said, stop, work. Jackie, stop. Yeah. That is
it's one of those things that like you can't not know about after you've seen it. So really only look this up if you can acknowledge that afterwards you will never be the same and you will never be able to unsee it.
Our comments are killing me right now.
Yeah.
They're like, save yourself. I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway.
Anyway, so yeah, that's Nisei Monogatari.
So how did this episode end again? What was the final?
The Attack on Titan or Nisei Monogatari?
Not that one. Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan ended with which character was it that kicked Reiner in the head to wake him up? I thought that was really funny, actually.
Yeah. Oh, no. Annie.
Right. Annie, yeah.
Oh, it was Annie. Yeah, you're right.
Kicks him in the head and she to wake him up, and then they're just all standing there around him. They're like, "Hey, we gotta save the world."
Yes.
Down Aaron. Yes. And that was the end. Yeah.
Aww, yeah. Hopefully it starts getting good again. Don't pull any My Hero Academias on me here, man. I can't handle it. You know, if we want to segue, Ranking of Kings has been absolutely top notch. Though I read a review today that there's apparently there's some really strange comparisons, which I'm like, yes. Oh god.
Okay, so we've got 15 minutes, so I think we can talk about the Ranking of Kings controversy that's going on right now. Take of it what you will. Ranking of Kings. I've been talking about how excellent that show is since before it aired. I made everyone watch it, or you know, tried to strong arm them into watching it at conventions. I told everybody to watch it. I've talked about it extensively on this podcast. It still wonderfully animated, wonderfully paced, got a really engaging, intriguing storyline. Still love Boji and Kage to death. Best
biggest boys. Crush ever on Ogun. I am obsessed with him. Like, obsessed. James, like, do you watch the show or no?
I was, although everything I read about this most recent episode
I know. Well, I mean, Lindsay will elaborate, but Ogun is like super handsome and then he turns super evil. And I'm literally like, why would you do that to me? Why would any anime do that to me? Because it's just like, I'm in love with him now. And he is the creepiest, most up laugh ever.
I know. It sounds like someone like kind of slit his throat or something.
Yeah.
It's all like gruesome.
Yeah. It's disgusting. It's like the worst laugh ever. And I'm like, why am I in love with you? And he's also just brutally evil now. I mean, but anyways.
And he also drinks blood.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. He just like, blood. He took a bite out of the snake. I was like,
really.
I'm not going to lie though. That big four episode, that hit different.
All the fighting in that episode, like the animation and the fighting and the choreography of all of it was like really, really good the whole time. The problem, the controversy about these last two episodes is mainly behind the framing of Miranjo's backstory. So spoilers for episodes 18 and 19, we get Miranjo's backstory. We had already known via some flashbacks when Daida first lost control of his body that she was mutilated as a child, right? That like they cut off her hands and like skinned her face and she was wearing this mask. In the last two episodes we get Miranjo's backstory from Bosa's perspective, and he's telling it to Bevan, and he's talking about these two kingdoms. One is called Gyakuza, like with a G in front, Gyakuza, and Homa, which is just Maho, like, interposed, which means magic. So Miranjo's from Homa, and so is her mom. And they had been, they're all magic users, and they had been at war with the gods, who we don't really know a whole lot about other than the fact that they're terrifying. Like, we saw the one with, like, the sharp teeth and, like, the eye that opened up in his forehead, and he was really scary.
Yeah. Which, like, so where have they been?
Something must have happened to them post this, because there was a war with them. Homa was trying to defeat them. They couldn't pull ahead, so they align with the Gyakuza country, and they go over there and start living there. And it tells this whole backstory about how the Homa taught them magic, and they modernized their town. And when they were living there before, it was basically like dirt, and they were all living in huts, and they didn't have any economy, and that they had been invaded multiple times and they were distrustful, and they have this horrible culture of like backstabbing and stuff like that. And when I first watched it, I was like, this is really black and white for Ranking of Kings. Like, Ranking of Kings has done a really good job of not making any of the villains like pure evil. Like, they always have something going on behind them that kind of gets you to understand where they're coming from. Like, James and I and Jackie too, we talked about how like you start to dislike someone, and then Ranking of Kings would come out with an episode and you're like, oh man, I really hated that little Daida wimp, and now he's actually not awful. And it kind of felt like that's what they were trying to do for Miranjo here. But in the second episode, when they first introduced the backstory and it was so black and white, my initial thoughts were like, this is kind of weird for the show. And it feels a little bit like what you typically see for like colonizing propaganda, mm-hmm. which, you know, when a country goes into another country and says, oh, you know, we fixed everything for them and they were uneducated and we made them smart and they, you know, those sorts of things. And so that like kind of raised a couple little red flags. And then the second episode happened and it basically doubled down on it. And Miranjo's mom is murdered, and like the people just like they mutilate Miranjo and tie her to a post in the middle of town and just leave her there. And then
really bad. Yeah.
And I had seen some talk online, but I hadn't seen anything that I found convincing yet at the time, that this backstory has a lot of parallels to nationalistic talking points about Japan and Korea. And so I asked one of our reporters, Kim Morrissey, I was like, can you look into this, like go onto Japanese Twitter where they're talking about this in Japanese and see, you know, what the conversation is, if there's any merit to this. She comes back and she said, you know, she wrote an article, we have it up on Anime News Network, that talks about how Japanese nationalists had looked at this story and they found that it aligned with their beliefs. So they interpreted it that way. I guess when this manga chapter was released, enough people found that interpretation that they actually shut down the comment section on that chapter.
Wow.
And something unique to the anime version that isn't as present in the manga version is the what looks like was potentially a reference for when they depicted the town before it was modernized. It looks a lot like what would have been the rural farm, poorer area housing that the Koreans were using turn of the century, but right before the Japanese came in and colonized them. And if you look into the history of that, turn of the century colonization of Korea by Imperial Japan, it was pretty awful. Like, they burned all their historical documents and made them learn Japanese and, you know, just sort of like they committed cultural genocide against them.
Same thing happened on Guam, actually, yeah. When they were colonizing the Micronesian islands.
Yeah. So once I saw that, it was like, God, this episode was really well animated and it was one of the best ones in a long time. Mm-hmm. And you know, they've got the original action director from the early seasons of Attack on Titan. He was like pumping up this episode because of how good the action was going to be. There's a lot of really great emotional moments, but that was all kind of like in the background the entire time I was watching it. And it made it so like I couldn't really enjoy the episode because I felt very conflicted about it. Now, I've interviewed the creator of Ranking of Kings. We have an interview with him up there.
Interesting.
I didn't
How was
know
that.
Well,
did you
I
know
didn't
him, but you didn't know about this when you
I didn't
him.
Know about this when I did the interview. I did it very early into the season. And I don't think there's anything in that interview that would lead one to think, you know, he feels this way or that way. It could, you know, this could be, he could have these nationalistic feelings. I don't know. He could also just be repeating common talking points that he's heard without really necessarily trying to like slip it in intentionally that way. I don't know. Like, I don't want to attribute an ideology to the creator of Ranking of Kings, but it's problematic, I guess, is what I would say. Yeah. As little as that word maybe means anymore, it does give you pause. Like, I feel like best case scenario, it feels like colonizing propaganda. Worst case scenario, it's an allegory for Japan and Korea, and it's calling Korea out for not being appreciative enough of Japan for coming in there and doing what they did, which is not good.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, even like, I feel like best case scenario, it kind of reminds me of when, you know, you have movies like even Avatar, right, that have sort of like the white savior narrative that we in the West, that the, you know, the European colonizers used to propagate the positive goals of colonialism. And, you know, you'll have movies and shows and video games that use that imagery and use a lot of those tropes, not necessarily because they're like actively bigoted, but because that it's just a common cultural sort of osmosis thing that you just pick up after growing up in a society that just repeats those stories over and over.
Yeah.
I hope it's not a like a super intentional dog whistle. That would suck.
Yeah, it definitely would. I mean, there's similar conversations like this going on around Pokemon Legends Arceus at the same time, because that game has the story there has some parallels to Japan's movement into Hokkaido, which had an indigenous population already, and they went in there and they colonized Hokkaido and. And that's just within the country of Japan. And there's some, I've seen discussion over that too, about whether, you know, it's being sensitive to how some of that went, or whether it's, again, propagating a similar narrative of like moving into a place where people already live and have, you know, an established culture and society, and saying, you know, you're going to fix it. And by the way, you don't get to do any of your old traditions or maintain any of, your way of life.
That is so, I think, you know, like there's a lot of really good conversation going on in our chat right now about it.
Yeah.
I think what Law said is really the best way to put it. It's just like, we don't really know what was happening in their heart of hearts, but like, either way, it's like I think Lindsay even commented on this, like it's been so creative and this just seemed like so like a cop out to me too.
Like there's just a whole country of evil people.
Yeah. Like I agree. So like I think that like either way, it's just been such a great story. And then like to see it just kind of do that, I do remember being like, oh, this is kind of, you know, like just like it could have been written better. Lazy. Like I was kind of lazy, 100% lazy. Yeah. And so like, I don't, like a lot of people are like, I don't know if he deliberately or intentionally referenced it. Like we obviously don't know. We didn't ask him straight up, but it's like, it's definitely weird. It's definitely like when you could have written it in a bunch of different ways and you've written this story already so well, you know, like, I don't know. It's definitely a bummer. I'm going to keep on watching the show though. Just because I'm obsessed with Oaken.
Do you think he's going to get his good end, Jackie?
Of course he's probably going to be dying in his brother's arms and be like, I'm so sorry. And I didn't ask for this. And I don't even know what I turned into. And I'm just going to be crying and he's going to look beautiful and then he'll die. Like most of my romances.
One of the most emotional moments in that episode, I feel like, was when he was like on the verge of losing and then he remembers Despa like teaching him how to fight when he still had his sanity. And it's like he's using those tactics to like defeat Boshi, which is awful.
Yeah.
But you can see like there's still part of him way down there that like remembers his brother.
100%. Like I think it like the saddest part is that like and this is what it was really great about this anime is that like you have these characters who are like evil but also like have like some goodness in them. Like he was in arguably like the most good out of the brothers, you know, like it's so sweet and kind. And then it's like it's not, I mean, like it wasn't his fault that he was born immortal, like you know what I mean, or whatever the hell it was, like right when he turned 25 he did, but then it was just like how do you stay like pure of heart when you're put in that situation? I mean, it's honestly like, it's a really like tragic story. I mean, that's what I love about Ranking of Kings though. Boji's story is tragic.
Yeah.
Even Boss's story, Miranja's story. Like there's so many, I mean, you could go on and on. The snake story. Like, you know, like they were getting beat up.
The best snake.
Best snake.
Like he got his blood sucked and he got really like scared about it. And Bevan had to like comfort
this. Love giant Bevan, by the way.
Yeah.
Bevan is boyfriend number two for sure. I'm just like, I love how like he's just so aware and calm all the time. Like it's like he's always like a great voice of reason. Like the name's escaping me. The one who's obsessed with healing and he's adorable, but he like
rolls his eyes. Dorsh,
I like Dorsh. Love him, but it's like, you know, he's driven by his like fanaticism with healing, which is beautiful and cute.
He's got good dad vibes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Very good dad vibes. But it's like, I feel like Bevan's always like somehow just like the voice of reason in that chaos. Who's the one with the gray hair and he's got the little pokey stick?
Apius,
yeah. I like
it's Apius. A spear, Jack.
It's okay. Yeah, you're right. Pokey stick was literally the worst way to describe it. But I like him too because he's like really, I think he's very conflicted with his identity
soft on the inside.
Yeah. Right? And he just doesn't know who to help and like, what is he like? I feel like he's just getting pulled in a bunch of directions. Like, that's what I think is the most disappointing part about this last episode was that like, you're going to write all of these characters like this well. Oh my God. Lindsay and I both low key have a crush on the eldest brother.
Desha.
Yeah. Cause it's like, he's like so emo. And so like,
he kind of looks like Waluigi.
Yes. And like, it's just like, all of them are just so great. Like in their own way. Oh my, we haven't even talked about the assassin little ninja boy.
Kage,
when his mom is like on the other side of the river and he's like, sorry, mom, I got to do some more stuff. I literally was like low key about to cry. And then she's like, okay, I'll see you. I'm even talking about it. I'm like,
I love the part where he basically told her that he was going to live a long life. And I mean, that's what she wanted most for him. Cause you know, she gave her life to save him. So for him to like tell her, you know, I'm going to live for a long time and then turn around and go back, I thought was really sweet.
See, it's like, that's what's sad is like, we can say all these great things about the show, but then it's like something like this. And that's why I refuse to get an Attack on Titan tattoo. Cause I'm just like, what if this all shits the bed in the end? And then I'm going to be like, I almost got a My Hero Academia tattoo and I'm definitely not regretting holding off on that decision after season 5. So, you know,
My Hero Academia. I think y'all convinced me to not catch up on My Hero Academia. I don't know.
Make a long story short, the best parts are with Todoroki's family, and then they're kind of like so sad that it's like one of those things that you watch once and you never really want to see again. Like you're like, wow, that was really emotionally intense, and then you're like, I would rewatch a lot of My Hero Academia.
But what about the Shigaraki backstory, which is also really emotionally intense?
Okay, so maybe those two are like, that's all. The rest of it was like complete bullshit filler. Sorry if anybody's a My Hero Academia fan in here, but I'm like.
And nobody got that.
And I love that show. I love that show. And I was like, if season 6 doesn't like step it up, like I'm going to be like, I'm jumping off the bandwagon. I don't know if I could ever completely do that though, because I love Bakugo too much. But yeah.
Oh,
also, before we end, Demon Slayer got hella fucking good. Excuse my French, but like I kind of wasn't about it. And then I don't know. I don't think I've completely caught up yet. And I hope I'm not like, chat's not going
to
get mad.
It's okay. I still need to watch the finale too. I mean,
the brother sister dynamic. We all knew that was going to hit me in the heart, like hard. And I just got to the episode where they're talking about their backstory. And I was so sad that they were yelling at each other like when they died. I was like, please don't. Like, I was like, oh. But the brother, the Aniki vibes, like him just being like there for her no matter what. Like, I was like, It was breaking my heart. And he was a great villain. She was too.
Tanjiro.
Yeah, oh my God. Why do I like creepy voices?
I don't know.
I need to address that after her realizing that just now.
Therapy appointment.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. I'm like, Attack on Titan's been great though. But it's like Ranking of Kings and Demon Slayer were kind of like, I think even Lindsay, we were like, which one should we do for this?
Yes,
for this,
yeah.
this slot. I do feel like Ranking of Kings was honestly number one for me over Attack on Titan. I really liked Ranking of Kings, and now it's kind of like, I'm like, oh.
I feel like the controversial backstory, from what I know, it hasn't come up again in the manga, and so as uncomfortable as it is, I'm expecting not to have to confront it again for the rest of the anime's run. So it'll just always be like those two episodes, dang, I wish that didn't happen, but... And I'm going to keep watching it. I'm reviewing it for the site. So,
yeah. Well, I'll be sticking around again because of Oaken, but that's it. And we're done. Bye, everybody. No kidding.
Yeah. All right, you guys, thanks for sticking around for our chat. I'm glad we actually got to touch on a lot of different cool stuff. We talked about Pokemon. We talked about Attack on Titan, Ranking of Kings, Demon Slayer.
Talked about Yaoi paddles.
Let's talk about Yaoi paddles. Talked about toothbrush scenes. You know, just... a wide variety here every week. So make sure to come back next Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, where we will again be talking about Attack on Titan, latest news, anything else that catches our fancy. And I'm glad to have Jackie back. Let's all like give Jackie some hands. Thanks for having Jackie back.
I missed you guys.
Yeah. Oh, also James's chair came in real quick. James, you want to show us that Attack on Titan chair? We announced our two winners on AM already.
I know.
Look at that thing.
What?
Courtesy
that
of Secret
Lab. That is beautiful.
Lab. It is straight up the most comfortable thing I've ever sat. And now we should say beautiful. That we're not being sponsored or compensated or paid for this. They wanted us to show off their incredibly fancy and thematically appropriate chair. And it is both incredibly fancy and thematically appropriate. And I'll tell you guys.
Would you say it smells like, James?
It smells like, I mean, it smells like the inside of a car that I'll never be able to afford. It has like these fully leather upholstery seats. Like, I kind of imagine.
That is dope. That's a really nice chair. I was like, holy
moly. Like, Levi on his best day, like when he hasn't been crawling around through the woods for like a week with his hand like half rotting and his face all goopy, you know, he's had time to shower, clean up a bit. It's probably what Levi smells like, you know, just rustic and capable and strong and like he can hold you and support you and provide really good lumbar support.
Oh my God. That is
even on the best of days.
This is getting kind of spicy.
I know. I was like,
okay.
But also the headrest, it's a magnet.
I know that's really cool. Actually, those Secret Lab chairs, I do love that. I have a Razor one. I never use this thing, and it's in a really awkward spot. That's nice that the Secret Lab can go down.
I know. It's
now
just like,
I really want mine to go
lower. Didn't the chairs could have magnets? What is this?
Lindsay, I don't even got a little
pillow. So
I think, okay, one, this is my husband's chair because I sit in this pink bucket back here because I sit weird, and I had like a chair like this at mine, but I kept putting my leg up on it, and then I left it there long enough, like after years and years of use, I started getting a weird indentation in my thigh. So I replaced it. It fixed itself, but I just had to quit sitting like that in a particular chair for it to quit doing that. But there is a pillow for this somewhere. My husband just doesn't use it. So
I don't even really use mine.
Does it smell like Levi looks?
No, it doesn't.
That's what I want to know.
No, I bet it does not. I bet that chair does, though. So
is there a picture of an Attack on Titan character anywhere on it? Like on the back?
No, no. On the back is just the green.
It's just, oh, but it's that green.
That's
oh,
so really it's got cool. The apple
on it. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's a very nice chair. So thank you, nice. Secret Lab. Thank you very much. Nice. My back is definitely going to be thankful.
That's good.
Yeah.
So talking about tattoos, I was thinking about getting the Attack on Titan emblems like on my like side, maybe next to the Cowboy Bebop, but I'm like, we gotta see how it ends.
Wait till the end, just in case.
I know. I'm waiting. But I'm like, if that comes to fruition, because it's like I love the unicorn and the roses. And obviously,
yeah, that's really so pretty. That's so pretty.
I know. So
all right, guys. I'll say bye again now that we've seen James's cool chair. Thanks again for tuning in to the A&N After Show. Remember to subscribe to this channel, hit the notification bell, retweet on Twitter, and give us likes and shares on Facebook. We'll be here again Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And also make sure to go to Anime News Network to get all of your latest anime news, gaming news, manga news. We've got it all there. And I'm just looking for the correct video. All right, bye, everybody.